Today, Christians are facing challenges in homeless ministry. In 2023, homelessness reached its highest level since reporting began in 2007, even affecting families with children, unaccompanied youth, and the elderly. Homeless ministries require long-term commitment and support, not quick fixes. Pastor Jim Yates advises taking manageable steps when building a homeless ministry. Read the full article, Compassion, It's a Messy Business, by me, Jordan Chambly, on thestand.net.
Welcome to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve, Senior Pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas. Now, here's Pastor Jeff.
Well, good morning and welcome to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. Hope you had a good night's sleep and are having a good morning. Debbie and I have really been struggling with sleep lately. I don't know what it is, but she wakes up about 1 o'clock in the morning and is up for a couple hours, and then I seem to wake up about 3. I don't mind getting up at 4, but 3 is a little early, and then it makes you kind of draggy for the rest of the day. But I hope that you slept well, and I wanted to read to you from 1 Kings chapter 19. 1 Kings 19 is a very famous chapter in the Old Testament. 1 Kings 18 is the showdown on Mount Carmel between Elijah and the prophets of Baal, and the Lord showed the big question, you know, how long will you hesitate between two opinions? If the Lord is God, if Yahweh is God, follow him. But if Baal, follow him. And the people didn't answer Elijah's question. They were riding the fence. They were hesitating between two opinions. You can't do that. And the devil owns the fence, as you've probably heard me say and others say. And so you can't ride the fence of compromise. Well, that day the Lord proved that the God of Baal is not a God at all. He didn't answer. They called on Baal from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. He didn't answer. They cut themselves with lances and the blood flowed. He didn't answer because he's not God. Well, when Elijah called on the name of the Lord answered in mighty power, and the prophets of Baal were slain. Now, Elijah, and then God brought an end to the drought that had been going on for so long. Now, Elijah no doubt thought this was going to bring about a great revival in Israel. Israel was led by wicked Ahab and Jezebel at that time. But he got afraid in 1 Kings 19 because Jezebel said that she was going to kill him. And for some reason, this mighty prophet got afraid. He began to run, and he ran all the way came to Beersheba. He goes south and he runs and runs and runs. He ends up, the Lord ministers to him, but he ends up on Mount Sinai, Mount Horeb, the mountain of God. Moses had met with God there at the burning bush, Exodus chapter 3. That's where Moses also met with God to receive the Ten Commandments. Very interesting, the two people who met with God on Mount Horeb, Moses and Elijah, were the ones that met with Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration, Moses and Elijah. So the Lord asks Elijah on Mount Horeb, he shows himself to Elijah, and then he says, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" And Elijah says the same thing to him. "I've been very zealous for the Lord, the God of hosts, for the sons of Israel have forsaken your covenant, torn down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword, and I alone am left, and they seek my life to take it away." So he said, "Go forth and stand on the mountain before the Lord." And behold, the Lord was passing by, and a great and strong wind was rending the mountains and breaking in pieces the rocks before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a sound of a gentle blowing, a still small voice. And when Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood in the entrance of the cave. And behold, a voice came to him and said, "What are you doing here, Elijah?" And so Elijah repeats the same thing. And this is what the Lord tells Elijah. The Lord said to him, "Go, return on your way to the wilderness of Damascus. And when you have arrived, you shall anoint Hazael king over Aram, and Jehu, the son of Nimshi, you shall anoint king over Israel, and Elisha, the son of Shaphat of Abel-Meholah, you shall anoint as prophet in your place. And it shall come about the one who escapes from the sword of Hazael, Jehu shall put to death, and the one who escapes from the sword of Jehu, Elijah shall put to death. Yet I will leave 7,000 in Israel, all the knees that have not bowed to Baal, and every mouth that has not kissed him. Now, what is all that for? I want to speak to you today on the subject of the speed of change in leadership. The speed of change in leadership. Now, all eyes are on President Donald Trump. Big day, you know, on Monday, his inauguration, the 47th president. Everybody's talking Trump, Trump, Trump. The liberals are groaning and crying and shrieking. And that is only going to get worse because Trump has 4 years to really focus in on making America great again. He wants to bring about law and order and common sense morality and liberty and justice for all. Things that we would all say, yes, we are for, but we have seen those things be dismantled under Joe Biden and all the executive orders he signed when he was inaugurated as president. We learned from Mike Johnson, the Speaker of the House, that, you know, Biden didn't even know some of the things that he was signing, especially, you know, toward the middle to the end of his presidency. He was just signed stuff. He didn't even know he signed it. We all knew that he was declining rapidly. But here's the thing. When you take over as a leader and the house is a mess, your nation is a mess. You come to the church, you're a brand new pastor, and you just see things that are being done wrong because we just do it that way, and it's just a mess. It's not right. You take over a football team or a basketball team, you know, it's like the movie Coach Carter. You know, he takes over this team that's struggling and, you know, winning 3 or 4 games a season, and he's like, we're making major changes because we're not going to continue to lose. Well, to do that requires change, and people don't like change. And so, you know, you can talk about change, just like when I came to First Baptist Texarkana, and when I have interviewed with other churches over the years, they all say, oh, you know, what do you want to see happen? Well, I want to see us baptize all these people, and I want our baptism service every Sunday to last so long, and I want to see, you know, us just make an impact in this community and beyond. It's like, okay, well, how is that going to happen? See, they want it to happen. They want all the good things to happen without changing anything. Well, that's the definition of insanity, doing the same things over and over and expecting a different result. You don't get a different result. We used to have, when I was at the University of Texas, the old phrase was GIGO, garbage in, garbage out. You know, from a computer language standpoint, you have to change what you're putting in. Because if you keep putting in garbage, you're going to keep getting out garbage. If you keep doing the same things over and over and over again, you're not going to get the changes that you desire. So the speed of change in leadership. Now, many people have likened Donald Trump to King Jehu. Now, the Lord picked Jehu, and he told Elisha, hey, you go and you anoint Jehu as king over Israel. Now, Jehu was following Ahab and Jezebel. Ahab and Jezebel were the worst of the worst of the worst. I mean, they were wicked, wicked, wicked people. And Jezebel was more wicked than Ahab. Ahab was weak, and Jezebel was wicked and power hungry, and so she incited him to do terrible things. And the Bible makes it clear that they were the king and queen of evil. And so Jehu was going to wipe that out. He was going to bring reform, and he did. So it says in something that I pulled up, BibleStudyTools.com, what was Jehu known for? King Jehu overthrew the wicked kings Ahaziah of Judah and Ahab of Israel. Tasked by the prophet Elijah, Jehu joined his predecessor Elisha. This can be tough to remember, Elijah and Elisha. Elijah came first. He joined his predecessor Elisha and began to overthrow the wicked idolatry and worship of Baal. Jehu is known for dismantling the evil King Ahab and his dynasty. The wicked wife of King Ahab was thrown over a balcony at Jehu's order. When they went out to bury her, they found nothing except her skull, her feet, and her hands. A brutal death to fulfill Elijah's prophecy. Now, Jehu wasn't a perfect guy, and he did some things, and he crossed the line. He obeyed the Lord, and then he went beyond. And so, nobody in Scripture, with the exception of very, very few, I mean, obviously nobody's perfect, but most of the time when the Bible writes about a guy, it paints him warts and all. The exception would be Joseph in the book of Genesis. There's not a lot that you can point at that was negative about Joseph. And then Daniel. You can't find any dirt on Daniel. But the other leaders in the Old Testament, I mean, David was a great leader, a man after God's own heart. He's the standard bearer for good kings. But we know that David wasn't perfect. We know about his sin with Bathsheba, which was a terrible sin. That hot-blooded, passionate sin of adultery. Lust just took off in his heart, and he let that go. His sin against Uriah the Hittite, Bathsheba's husband, that was worse. That was far worse. Adrian Rogers said in a sermon one time, I've never forgotten it, he said, when King David sinned with Bathsheba, that was a hot-blooded sin. But when he sinned against Uriah the Hittite, that was a cold-blooded sin. That was a calculated sin. That was a sin that says Bathsheba's pregnant. Uriah's going to know that he's not the father because he's been away in battle. Uriah needs to die. How can I do that? Well, I'll just send a note to Joab the general by the hand of Uriah the Hittite, who is too honorable to look at the note. He wouldn't do that. And he handed the note to Joab, and the note said from King David, put Uriah in the fiercest part of the battle and then withdraw from him. And Uriah would die in battle and die a hero as he was there, you know, fighting for his country. But then he was able, after Bathsheba's time of mourning, to take her as his wife. Well, the thing that David did, 1 Samuel chapter 11, the thing that David did was evil in the sight of the Lord. That's the only part that mentions the Lord, is the last verse in 2 Samuel, chapter 11. But then 2 Samuel chapter 12, Nathan the prophet is sent to David, and he calls him out. So David's not a perfect king. And hey, guess what? You're not perfect either, and I'm not perfect, and there is no perfect pastor, and there's no perfect senator, and there is no perfect congressman, and there is no perfect president. So Donald Trump is definitely not a perfect guy. He's going to make some mistakes. But he has been touted with the mandate from the people, we need to have change. And Trump is going to make changes. Now, to make changes, you're going to upset the apple cart. And he is the guy that is willing to do that. You have to have thick skin to do that. You have to be willing to be vilified and brutalized in the media and in the press and still keep going. Well, he has the hide of a rhinoceros. He is able to do that. And so you're going to hear from the left shrieks and squeals like you've never heard before, because Trump is going to bring reform. And he's already started. One article that I read, Trump says bye-bye-bye to DEI. And he said in his inaugural address, hey, there are only two genders. And he was inaugurated on Martin Luther King Day. And so he said, what is his dream? My four little children would be judged on the content of their character, not on the color of their skin. Well, what is DEI about? Well, it's about the color of your skin. It's not about the content of your character. DEI is quotas. It's not about finding the best person for the job, regardless of race, creed, or color. It's all about race, creed, and color. So, today, the Federal Office of Personnel Management notified heads of agencies and departments that they must begin taking steps to close all diversity, equity, and inclusion offices by the end of day today. And they will put workers on paid leave. They'll take down all websites, social media sites, withdraw any documents or directives, and cancel any DEI training and terminate any contracts. That needs to take place, and he is not letting the grass grow under his feet. But he's that kind of guy. He's a person of action. That's what we need today to bring about reform. That's what Jehu did. That's what Hezekiah did. That's what Josiah did in the Old Testament. Not perfect people, but people who saw we need to get back to God, and we need to get back to common sense, and we need to drive out the Baal worship that has infiltrated the country. You're listening to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. We'll be right back after the break.
This is Real Truth for Today. Podcasts of the program are available on the podcast page at afr.net. Now, back to Pastor Jeff Shreve.
I'm Pastor Jeff Shreve here. We're talking about the speed of change in leadership. When I came to First Baptist Texarkana in February of 2003, it seemed like the church was excited. There were a few, I think there were six people that voted against me to come. But many were excited, and I was excited. But then, I see things as black and white, as right and wrong, as this is good, this is not good, and so I started seeing things at the church. Now I was told, hey, to take 6 months, don't change anything, just get to know the people. Take 6 months before you change anything. But I just couldn't do that because I saw things that were broken, and I said, hey, we got to fix this, and so. We started changing things. And Larry Sims, our associate pastor, used to call me, he called me the agent of change. And I still remember meeting with some of the deacons one morning, and we would meet once a week. And I said, you know, here's the thing, because people in church, they're just like people, they don't like change. They can handle some change, but if there's too much change, they start to freak out. And so I said to these deacons, I said, here's the real issue at our church. How much surgery can FBC Texarkana endure before Pastor Jeff dies? Because you change and change and change, and finally the people say, enough change, we're going to change you. And we're going to get rid of you. And so I came close to that edge, and by the grace of God, I was not fired. But there were changes that needed to happen. And praise God, you know, here we are, 22 years later. Be 22 years on February 9th for me. We're at a good place. But you know, that could have derailed had. You know, I came close to the edge. And so with President Trump, we think about all that to say with President Trump, he is going to make changes. He's already started. I mean, day one, signed almost 200 executive orders. He is making changes. He's ratcheting up law and order. And he's going to, you know, he declared that the border is a crisis, and he's putting military there, and he's going to start getting the bad actors that have crossed our border illegally, get them out of the country, and round them up. And Tom Homan is working to do just that. And so those are things that need to take place. But now you have people on the left that will just shriek and cry and, oh, we can't do that. And, you know, Trump went on Tuesday. He went to the Washington National Cathedral for a prayer service. And I guess that's part of the deal on, you know, when you come into office. That is, Franklin Graham called that place the synagogue of Satan. I saw that on Todd Starnes' X feed today. But the pastor, priest, big liberal, Marianne Buddy, she's a big LGBTQIA+ activist. Well, she was the one that was delivering the 15-minute message. And so she says to Trump, let's see here. Let me make one final plea, Mr. President, Bishop Marianne Buddy said in her 15-minute sermon. quote, millions have put their trust in you, and as you told the nation yesterday, you have felt the providential hand of a loving God. In the name of our God, she doesn't follow the same God that you and I follow, in my humble but accurate opinion. I ask you to have mercy upon the people in our country who are scared now. There are gay, lesbian, and transgender children in Democratic, Republican, and independent families, some who fear for their lives. Well, there are not transgender children. There are deceived children. There are children that are influenced by their parents and by the culture. Transgenderism, you know, is a disease of the mind. Nobody is truly a male caught in a female's body or a female caught in a male's body. And she said, went on to say, the people who pick our crops and clean our office buildings, who labor in poultry farms and meatpacking plants, who wash the dishes after we eat in restaurants and work the night shifts in hospitals, they may not be citizens or have the proper documentation. They're illegal. They're breaking the law. But the vast majority of immigrants are not criminals. How does she know that? They're all criminals, because if they're here illegally, that's a crime. So you've committed a crime. They pay taxes and are good neighbors. She doesn't know that. She criticized President Trump. He's sitting on the front row. I mean, it's just so inappropriate. And, you know, it just shows you where the Episcopal Church is today. Pretty sad commentary. And this lady has been there at the National Cathedral for a number of years, I think 10 plus years as the priest there. Anyway, she's not a lesbian. I looked her up. I don't think she is. She kind of looks like she has the haircut for it, but she is married and she has two children, 65 years old. But anyway, that's what he had to endure. And J.D. Vance on Tuesday, when Trump was asked about it, he said, yeah, it wasn't a very good service. But people like her are going to be squawking and screaming when the change comes, because they're not going to like what happens. And, you know, there is going to be, make no mistake about it, there is going to be collateral damage with Jehu. And as I said, people have likened Donald Trump to Jehu. Jehu, he did some things that were too far, not things that the Lord commanded him to do, and it wasn't good, and people ended up getting hurt in the process. That can happen if you're not careful. So we need to be praying for Donald Trump that he makes the necessary changes, not the unnecessary changes. The speed of change in leadership is critical, but we need, desperately need in America for change to come. Somebody was well said, I think it was Al Mohler, he said, when, you know, the natural tendency for a nation, for a church, for a seminary, is to drift left. You just kind of slowly drift left. As Jesus said to the church in Ephesus, I have this against you. You have left your first love. And so the devil works all the time to just kind of move us over just a little bit, a little bit, a little bit. It says in Proverbs, a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, and then your poverty will come in like a vagabond and your need like an armed man. How does a person fall? They don't fall all at once. They fall little by little by little. It's just little compromises here and little compromises there. And when you finally see how far you have drifted from true north, then to get back to true north, you don't drift to the right, you drift to the left, but you have to shift to the right. You have to make decisions saying, we are so far off course, we got to get back to true north. And that is going to be a major shift for people. When you're drifting, you don't really feel it. You know, when you're out in the ocean and you're getting pulled by the undertow, and it's not, you know, it's not like the red flags are out, get out of the water, you're going to die. But you just feel it. All of a sudden, you didn't know that, you know, you try and find your little spot on the beach and you don't see it. It's like, well, I was just right there, but now I've drifted way down the beach. And so I have to get back. You didn't know you were drifting. But when you make a shift, everybody knows. Now, one of the things that Joe Biden did right before he exited office was to pardon people, and made all these pardons. But then he pardoned all the J6 people who were involved in prosecuting those people, the Liz Cheney's and others like that. General Milley pardoned him. Anthony Fauci pardoned him. These are preemptive pardons. These people haven't been accused of anything. It's not like they're rotting in jail. They haven't been accused of anything yet. Now, there are accusations floating around from Rand Paul and others about them, but nobody has brought charges against them. Nobody has arrested them or anything like that. So to do a preemptive pardon is unheard of. And so many people have been upset because they say, hey, these people, if they have committed a crime, they need to pay. And that's the way the mind works. God has given us a conscience, a rudimentary function of right and wrong that's inside. And we know that, it, just like watching a movie, when somebody is doing evil acts, you say the scales of justice have to come upon them, and they need to pay. We don't like to watch a movie where the bad guy wins. You want to watch a movie where the bad guy gets it in the end, because that makes you feel like, okay, then everything balances. Well, Anthony Fauci, you know, those who are really, banging the drum for Anthony Fauci, oh, what a great guy. I ran across this video. I'm not going to play it all, but it's 5 minutes of him just lying. The guy is a serial liar. Let's listen to a little bit of it.
But they're really criticizing science. Because I represent science.
If you're vaccinated, you really don't need to worry about getting it in a way that's serious or transmitting.
That is true. That is correct, Chris. It'll either protect you completely against infection, and the chances are very likely that you'll not be able to transmit it to other people. The risk is extremely low of transmitting it to anybody else. Full stop.
Vaccinated people are clearly capable of transmitting the infection.
When you're in the middle of an outbreak, wearing a mask might make people feel a little bit better. If people are not wearing masks, then maybe we should be mandating it.
I often myself wear two masks.
And I'm quoting you now, at the population level, masks work at the margins, maybe 10%. To hear that they only work at the margins, maybe 10%, would make a lot of people ask, okay, then why was I wearing a mask?
You're really attacking not only Dr. Anthony Fauci, you're attacking science when you say that this is going to go away tomorrow like magic, when you know that there's no chance it's going to just disappear. We hope this just goes away, burns itself out.
That was just a minute out of 5 minutes of Anthony Fauci saying one thing and then later saying another, and just flip-flopping and spewing all sorts of things that are just not true. And so people say, hey, that guy affected so many lives. He was involved in, had major influence in shutting down the country and shutting down the schools, and how that affected people and how that affected kids. And so, should he not be called to account for those things? Well, Joe Biden gave him a preemptive pardon. They asked Joe Biden if he was going to pardon himself. And he said, well, why would I do that? I haven't done anything wrong. And so some have been calling for these people to appear before Congress and to say, why were you pardoned? Why did you accept a pardon if you didn't do anything wrong? You know, if Joe Biden wanted to issue a pardon for you or for me, we would say, well, I'm not going to receive that. Why do I need that? In some cases, a pardon is a get out of jail free card. But, you know, if you haven't done anything wrong, you don't, that it's just something that is like, what is up with that? Interesting story. When I took a seminary class, church history, the Catholic Church would sell indulgences, and you would pay money, and you could, when the what was the little phrase? I'm going off memory here, but a soul springs from eternity. When the coffers ring, a soul springs. And that you could pay to get your loved ones out of purgatory. You know, purgatory is a Catholic thing. The Bible doesn't teach purgatory. There's only, Hebrews 9:27 is appointed unto man once to die and after the judgment, and you're going to spend eternity in heaven or eternity in hell. That's what the Bible teaches. There is no such thing as purgatory, where you're going to suffer for a while until your sins are purged, and then you're made holy to go to heaven. That is a fallacy, that is a heretical teaching, and that denigrates the work of Christ on the cross. What Jesus did on the cross was enough. That's why he said, "It is finished, paid in full." But the idea, the story that's told is this guy was selling indulgences, and a man said, "Well, can I buy an indulgence for a crime that, for a sin that I haven't yet committed, but I'm going to commit in the future?" And so he said, "Well, yes," because he wanted the money. And so he said, "Great." And so he bought that, that forgiveness for this future sin. And when the guy took the money, then the man robbed him and said, "Well, I'm forgiven for that." And so he robbed him of all the indulgence money that he was collecting. And anyway, kind of a funny story, but it shows the lunacy of it. Pardoning people that are guilty. Now, Hunter Biden is guilty, but the president pardoned him. Anthony Fauci is guilty, and he received a preemptive pardon, as did Liz Cheney and General Milley and Adam Schiff and others. So pretty sickening, but we'll see what happens with that. Well, we've been talking about the speed of change in leadership, and President Trump is making changes. He started immediately. They're going to keep coming and keep coming, and people are just know ahead of time, and this is one of the reasons we need to be praying. People are going to be upset, and you're going to hear the shrieks coming, especially from the left, because of change. So that is just a call to pray. Well, you're listening to Real Truth for Today. I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve. I would love to take your call. We're up against a break. When we come back, we're going to open the phone lines, 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. If you have a question, if you have a comment, I would love to hear from you. It's always a joy to get your call. So pick up the phone, give me a call, and let's talk right after the break. You've heard a lot about saving babies on this show. That's because it's important to me personally. And let me just be frank with you. We need to save them. That's why we've partnered with Preborn, the nation's leader in introducing mothers with unplanned pregnancies to their babies. And once she hears that heartbeat and sees that precious life growing inside of her, she is twice as likely to choose life. Now that's a miracle. But quite honestly, if we don't save them, who will? Preborn receives no government funding, so their work is completely dependent on you and me. Preborn has rescued over 280,000 babies. And that's not all. They provide love, support, and counseling for up to 2 years for free, saving lives and souls. One ultrasound is just $28, or 140 helps rescue 5 babies' lives. Abortion doesn't stop. So we can't either. Together, you and I can save lives. Just call #250 on your cell and say the keyword baby. That's 250 baby. Or go to preborn.com. That's preborn.com.
If you'd like to contact Pastor Jeff, email PastorJeff@FromHisHeart.org. Now, back to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back to the program. Pastor Jeff here. We are opening the phone lines, 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. We've been talking about the speed of change in leadership, and Donald Trump is going to make changes. As we said in the last segment, things always drift to the left. but they have to be shifted to the right. A drift just feels normal, natural, no big deal, but a shift is a major, everybody's going to feel that. And so Trump saying bye-bye-bye to DEI and telling them, hey, you have till the close of business today to shut everything down on diversity, equity, and inclusion. Well, that's a major change. Now he's putting the workers on administrative leave with pay, but the handwriting's on the wall. You guys better find another job because you're getting ready to get whacked. And everybody can see that. That needs to happen. DEI is poison. You hire the best person for the job. I don't care if they're purple. It just doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what, you know, what your color of your skin is or what church you go to or if you don't go to church. You hire the best person. And there are only two genders. So, hey, we hire this lesbian. We hire this homosexual. We hire this transgender person. There are only two genders. And Trump has made that clear. And I have maintained for a long time, why would you hire somebody just because of their sexual orientation? You don't do that. You hire the best person for the job. And so getting rid of DEI, as Martin Luther King said, we judge people on the content of their character, not the color of their skin or not their, you know, their desire for relationships with this person, that person, or the other. And that, let's face it, that speaks volumes about the person, their morality. I would never hire somebody who is all, tatted up with a statement, you know, all over themselves that says rebel, rebel, rebel. And why would you do that, especially for schools? I don't understand that at all. And we've seen that in elementary schools and, raising the flag for transgenderism and Pride Day and all that stuff. Let's put an end to all that. Let's get back to common sense morality. And Trump wants to do that, and that's a good thing. So going to the phone lines, 888-589-8840. We have Lee on the line from Virginia. Lee, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Hey, Pastor Jeff. God bless you.
Thank you, brother.
I'd like to make a statement. I agree with everything that you've been saying. But I am very worried about this country and even the way we're being ruled and the direction we're going. If you know, Donald Trump done a lot of things that was good when he was in there. But if you remember, Joe Biden coming in there and changed everything, signed about 90 executive orders the first day, and opened the borders and just changed everything. Now, here comes Donald Trump back in and signs about 200 executive orders and changes everything that Joe Biden did. And how do we know that in 28 that this country won't turn liberal again? We've got a short memory, a very short memory, and somebody will get in and change everything that Donald Trump done again.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how the church works different than the government. You know, a president or a king like Jehu, when he was gone, Israel went back. The Bible says every man done what was right in his own eyes. You know, and how do we know that when Donald Trump is gone, that somebody won't change everything he does? It takes the Word of God and the spirit of a God to really change a man for the reason that he wants to do the right thing, not because somebody has encouraged him to do the right thing.
Well, you're exactly right, Lee. And, you know, thinking about in the Old Testament, you'd have the one king die and then the son would become king. And just because the dad was good and followed the Lord, that didn't mean the son was going to do that. And so you would have flip-floppings that would come into the dynasty. And then you'd have a bad king like Manasseh, who's terrible, but then his son is a good king. And so, David was a good king, obviously the standard bearer for good kings. Then Solomon was good for a while, but then because he multiplied so many wives, his wives turned his heart away. And then Rehoboam was a dummy. He was a big jerk and full of pride. And so then you just had these series of kings. Some would be good, some would be bad. Pretty much in Israel, the northern kingdom, they were all bad. Nobody was really good there. And they followed in the footsteps of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, who was the first king of the northern kingdom. But yeah, I think that you're exactly right. We don't live in a time where I brought this up to Stephen McDowell yesterday, I think it was Stephen McDowell, but either yesterday or the day before when I was talking to Rick Scarborough, we used to have people that had a moral base. And so whether you were a Republican or a Democrat, you still had a moral base of right and wrong, of honesty and integrity and responsibility. So your policies might be way out there on the left, but that doesn't mean that you think it's fine to lie, to cheat, to steal. Well, we don't have that anymore. And so it's win at all costs, and the ends justify the means, and that kind of thing. And so, you do anything to get elected, you do anything to stay in power, and you will reverse everything. If Donald Trump shifts us back to the right, you will do all that you can to bring that, you know, to the Joe Biden era again. And liberalism has proven time and time and time again, those policies don't work. California is a great example of that. You had it. It's a one party Democrat controlled state. It's a disaster. It is a dumpster fire, literally, as the place is on fire. And now we see that the leadership there, Gavin Newsom on down, Karen Bass, and they're much more concerned about DEI than they are about filling up their reservoirs and having working fire hydrants and working fire trucks and training the guys for the job. Doing all the DEI training. Well, what is that? That's just a waste of time and resources, but that's what they do. And in the end, the masses really suffer for that. So I appreciate your call, Lee. Anything else to add?
Yeah, that lady that you talked about was a total embarrassment to Christianity and to the Word of God. To give, that's not a true church. If they were to tear that thing down, and get rid of half the people that called themselves preachers that would deliver that kind of word to a nation.
Yeah, well, I agree. And so somebody said she's a high priestess of Satan, and I think Franklin Graham told Todd Starnes on his podcast that the National Cathedral has fallen into the hands of LGBT. Q activists, so it's not surprising this quote-unquote lady bishop spewed hate at Donald Trump today. National Cathedral has become a sanctuary of Satan. I would agree with that. So, yeah, you know, there are a lot of people that call themselves Christians, Lee, as you well know this, that aren't. And Jesus warned us in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 7, not everyone who says, Lord, Lord, who calls me Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. For many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not preach in your name, and in your name cast out demons, and in your name perform many miracles? Then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. So she talks about our God. And she doesn't follow the God of the Bible. She follows the God that she's created out of her own mind and out of her own wishes, which is exactly what they did in the Old Testament. What was a false God? It was just a God that they created that would approve of their sinful lifestyle. So there is only one true God, and I am who I am. I'm not who you want me to be. I am who I am. So I appreciate you, Lee. God bless you, brother. Well, we have Jerry on the line from Mississippi. Jerry, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Thanks for taking my call.
Yes, sir.
I was just, being a believer and to sit all these years and watch even those that are in leadership, we think that the word says that in the last days, men are going to be lovers of themselves, high-minded, boasters, all of these things. Mm-hmm. But yet at the same time, even with that DEI, that may have been a program that was set up for those ones that maybe would tell you they are a believer and they got positions where they are supposed to be fair and partial, but yet at the same time they the evilness, because he said who can know the heart, you know. We know the scripture to say that as well. So now I might be in this position, whereas that I end up hiring somebody because they're my cousin or they this right. or that. Those kind of positions will kind of help the poor people. I'll put it like that.
Yeah. Well, what do you think about that?
What I think about that?
Uh-huh.
I think that men is even I voted for Trump because I understand that when you try to change things, people don't want change. But at the same time, when I listen to the policies and I tried to line them up with scripture, and a lot of the things that he was saying, Matthew 24, 25 talks about the servant that buried his talent.
Right,
Matthew 25. He was the one that got sentenced.
Right.
So we have to tell our people, even in the churches, that God, faith is what moved God.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you like the one that had five talent, he got five more. And he told him to come on up and enjoy the joy of the Lord. The one that had two, he told him to come on up and enjoy because he got two more. And so the people that lay around on the couch, we know that that's happening. But
right.
we as believers have to really still try to get these people. And he said in there, pray to the Lord of the harvest. And he
right.
was sinning. See what I'm saying?
Right. You're exactly right, Jerry. So we need to pray, and we need to be, as Christians, we've been given gifts and talents and opportunities from the Lord, not the same amount. Some got five, some got two, some got one. The question is not how much did you get? The question is, what are you doing with what you have? And so we need to take what the Lord has given us and use it for His glory. And Donald Trump is doing that from the standpoint of the position of leadership and influence and power that the Lord has given him. He is using that to bring about changes, needed changes in America. We want those changes to be God-directed, not Trump-directed. And so he doesn't do what Jehu did and do good things, but then go too far. And so that's a prayer that we need to have. Well, we have Logan on the line from Texas. Logan, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Hey, thank you. I was just going to comment on that cathedral situation. It was really just kind of expected from my side. My family, we do missionary work in Guatemala, and uh-huh. right out from where we are, there's Catholic organizations that are helping direct immigrants on where to go, which bus to take, and how to illegally get them into our country.
Mm.
So, unfortunately, what Trump had to sit there and listen through was kind of expected from us. We've seen stuff like this already.
Yeah. Yeah, I was trying to find out, Logan, why he even went there. I guess it's just traditional that you go to a prayer service across the street. I don't know, but good night. I would never go in that place. You know, and you have this lady that's obviously an LGBTQ activist, as Franklin Graham said, that's the sanctuary of the devil. They're not worshiping the Lord. They're not following the truth of Scripture. And, you know, the things that she said, painting these people like they're all the Apostle Paul, these people that came in here illegally. They're not. And, you know, she doesn't know all of them, obviously. I don't know all of them either. You can find some good apples in the group of bad apples, but there are a lot of bad apples in there. And the bottom line is, you can't break the law and paint yourself as this, you know, this wonderful person. I just, you know, sure, I came in illegally, but I'm a wonderful, wonderful person. And you need to remember that, how people are so scared that you're president. Hey, when you return to law and order and justice for all and liberty for all, nobody should be afraid of that. Trump's not going after people who are doing right. And the government is designed, Romans 13, to defend those who are doing right and to punish those who are doing evil. So I appreciate the call, Logan. And thanks for listening to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. Tomorrow I'm going to have Gary Frazier on the program. We're going to talk about Trump and Bible prophecy. Don't miss it.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.